Welcome to Minghui Radio's Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world. Topics include news about the persecution of Falun Gong in China, local events, and special items of interest. Now for this week's stories.
USA. The Marysville Strawberry Festival Grand Parade is one of the largest parades in the Pacific Northwest. With a lively array of over 100 colorful floats, marching and bagpipe pipe bands, and dance groups, it drew large, enthusiastic crowds along the parade route on June 20th as part of the annual Marysville Strawberry Festival held in Marysville, Washington. Festival highlights included the Grand Parade and the Funtastic Carnival. Falun Dafa practitioners from Seattle, Washington, and Vancouver, Canada participated in the procession. Banners proclaiming Falun Dafa and Truthfulness, Compassion, Tolerance were followed by a float decorated with lotus flowers where practitioners demonstrated the practice's exercises. Chinese waist drum team members performed behind the beautiful float. A panel of judges evaluates the participating entries and presents a variety of awards. The Falun Dafa group won this year's Berriesville Award for their overall presentation.
Singapore. The Singapore Falun Dafa Association held a free 9-day instruction series from June 6 to June 14. The Falun Dafa classes consisted of videos of lectures given by Master Lee, the founder of the practice, as well as exercise instructions and sharings. Many course participants had practiced Falun Dafa when they were younger, but had lapsed for over a decade. During this June instruction, they had the opportunity to reconnect with the practice. Some of the attendees were Chinese people who lived and worked in Singapore, and some were local Singaporeans. The 9-day series was held on consecutive days from 7:15 p.m. to 9:45 p.m. It will next be offered from September 5th to September 13th.
Australia. The annual Springvale Winterfest took place in the city of Melbourne on June 21st. The Winter Community Festival offers a wide array of children's activities, food, and musical performances. It attracted many residents this year. Local Falun Gong practitioners set up a booth at the event where they demonstrated the exercises and introduced the practice to passersby. Origami paper folding activities suitable for all ages drew many visitors to the booth. Vivian, who manages a pharmacy, said, "When I heard the three words, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance, I immediately agreed with them. People should follow these universal values. These are of utter importance to everyone in the community." She was grateful to learn that there are free online Falun Dafa classes and an exercise site in the park she walks past on her way to work.
New Zealand. The United Nations International Day in Support of Victims of Torture was commemorated by Falun Dafa practitioners in the city of Auckland on June 27th. The event consisted of group exercise, a rally, and march. Speakers during the rally included human rights lawyers, medical professionals, and human rights advocates who called for an end to the Chinese Communist Party's decades-long suppression of Falun Gong. Speakers sought to inform the public of the crimes against humanity taking place in China and to inspire opposition to the violations. The activities attracted many spectators who took photos and videos. Ms. Cha was among those in attendance who praised Falun Dafa's principles and thanked practitioners for their efforts to raise public awareness. She said, "In today's world filled with negativity and darkness, upholding and practicing these values is especially important."
USA. The annual Libertyville Days Festival was held from June 19th to June 21st in Libertyville, Illinois, a northern suburb of Chicago. The theme of this year's festival was Stars, Stripes, and Libertyville Nights. The holidays of Juneteenth and Father's Day fell on the same weekend, and the 3-day event drew crowds of celebrants. Falun Dafa practitioners traditionally participate in the festival, many festival attendees stopped at their booth. People learned about the practice, the persecution in China, and many signed the petition urging Illinois' two senators to co-sign Senate Bill S-4009, the Falun Gong and Victims of Forced Organ Harvesting Protection Act.
The UK, the Goose Tree Rose Festival, is held on the last Saturday in June every year in a quiet and picturesque village in southern Cheshire, England. This century-old village festival draws participants from the local area and neighboring towns. The festivities feature a village parade, floats, band performances, dance troupes, a coronation ceremony, and a market. The community is immersed in an atmosphere of joy and harmony. Falun Dafa practitioners' waist drum team was invited to participate in the festival parade, held on June 27th. Spectators applauded the team, waved, and danced to the drum beats. This year, taking part in the event was challenging. The temperatures were unusually high and reached up to 100 degrees Fahrenheit. Many train services were affected or even suspended. To attend this event, practitioners overcame transportation issues and the hot weather. After the parade, many people lingered at the practitioner's booth and asked for information about Falun Dafa.
Israel, an online portal dedicated to nutrition and overall wellness called Eat Well, presented a series of events dedicated to teaching ways to keep people healthy. Each event was attended by hundreds of people. Falun Dafa practitioners participated in several of the events this year to introduce the benefits of the practice. On June 17th, an Eat Well conference was held in the city of Ramat Gan for therapists and healthcare professionals. A naturopathy student stopped at the practitioner's booth. She and a friend signed a petition to help stop the crime of forced organ harvesting. They both took copies of an article by Falun Dafa's founder, Master Li Hongzhi, called How Humankind Came to Be. Her friend also purchased a copy of Juan Falun, the main text of the practice, to learn more about Falun Dafa.
Turkey. On June 6th and 7th, the Environment Festival was held in the city of Istanbul's Kadıköy municipality. Many attendees stopped at the Falun Dafa booth, talked with practitioners, and learned the exercises. Engineer Ezgi Koza said, "Even though this was my first time I've done the Falun Dafa exercises, it felt as if my body already knew the movements. I kept my tongue against the roof of my mouth, and it turned out that this is correct." She added, "When I closed my eyes, I saw a golden light in the shape of a shravatsa rotating. It was a wonderful experience. Thank you." Ms. Koza returned to the practitioner's booth the next day and did the exercises again. The following are selected cases of persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China. A woman in Shandong province died in March after suffering decades of persecution for her faith in Falun Gong. Ms. Zhou Pei Sha and her husband, Mr. Gong Lu Tang, took up Falun Gong in the 1990s and immediately experienced improved health. After the start of the persecution, the couple held firm to their faith and were repeatedly targeted. In 2000, Ms. Zhou was given 3 years of forced labor and endured various forms of extreme abuse. As a result, she developed a mental disorder. After being released in 2002, she often remained silent and would go days without eating or drinking. She was later diagnosed with severe depression. In 2007, the couple decided to start practicing Falun Gong again, having stopped practicing years prior under pressure. Miss Zhou's depression soon disappeared. The couple was arrested in 2019 while talking to people at a fair about their miraculous experience with Falun Gong. Later, both were sentenced to over 3 years in prison and their pensions also suspended.
A 63-year-old woman in Wuhan City died in custody on June 11, less than 24 hours after she was arrested. The police claimed that they arrested six other practitioners for promoting Falun Gong at a wet market, and one of them allegedly identified Ms. Hu Xiongshou, the organizer. Ms. Hu was arrested at home after police officers broke in and ransacked her place. Instead of taking Ms. Hu to a police station or a detention center, the police took her to a secret location to interrogate her. At around 4 a.m., she suddenly fell ill. The police didn't try to resuscitate her or take her to a hospital. She died shortly after. Ms. Hu had been very healthy with no pre-existing conditions before the arrest. Her family condemned the authorities for causing her death and vows to seek justice. No law in China criminalizes Falun Gong, so even if Ms. Hu organized others to promote Falun Gong, she should not have been arrested.
A married couple, Mr. Xiao Yujun and Ms. Jiang Aimei of Shandong Province, were recently sentenced to 5.5 years and 4.5 years in prison, respectively, for their faith in Falun Gong. The couple was arrested at their home last year when three plainclothes officers broke in with a piece of paper claiming to be a search warrant. They then took the couple away. In court, their two lawyers entered not guilty pleas and pointed out that their clients have the constitutional right to practice their faith and that they didn't commit a crime by doing so. When the couple began practicing Falun Gong in 1997, the government encouraged the public to do so because of its significant health benefits. The prosecutor claimed that the couple committed serious crimes without providing supporting evidence. Mr. Xiao, in his own defense, argued that no Chinese law has ever criminalized Falun Gong, and that the Chinese Press and Publication Administration lifted the ban on Falun Gong books in 2011.
The friends of a 54-year-old resident of Yunnan County, Shandong Province, lost contact with him during the Chinese New Year holiday season. His mother, who lives with him, suffers from brain atrophy and severe memory impairment. She could not explain clearly what had happened to her son. Mr. Cao Gojin's friends noted that two items were missing from his home: a satellite dish used to receive uncensored overseas TV programs, and a portrait of Mr. Li Hongzhi, the founder of Falun Gong. They suspected that he had been arrested again for his faith in Falun Gong, having previously been incarcerated for a total of 16 years and 3 months. They have now confirmed that Mr. Cao is currently being held in a detention center. After the persecution of Falun Gong began in 1999, Mr. Cao's wife, unable to cope with him being detained, divorced him, leaving her to raise their young son. Since then, Mr. Cao has always stood firm in his belief in Falun Gong, even while being severely tortured and abused, losing most of his teeth.
Shen Yun returns to Toronto with support from elected officials. Shen Yun Performing Arts returned to Toronto, Canada for a run of shows from June 25th through June 27th after 6 performances scheduled for March of this year were canceled due to hoax bomb threats linked to the Chinese regime. Multiple members of parliament were in attendance to support the performing arts company in light of the ongoing transnational repression. Member of Parliament Dan Muiz saw a Toronto performance on June 27th and presented a certificate of recognition to Shen Yun artists. He said, "I wanted to be here in person to show solidarity with Shen Yun and with the Falun Dafa organization because of the threats that were made by the Beijing communist regime that caused this to be postponed after the first 2 performances." Mr. Muiz called that wrong and commented, "It's great to be back. We can't succumb to Chinese transnational repression. It's inappropriate. That's not who we are in Canada. We have freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom of culture." He told Shen Yun performers, "Notwithstanding any pressures that you're feeling or what you're seeing happening around, you are living examples of the courage that we need to see and that all Canadians should be exhibiting. And certainly we stand behind you in that." A representative of Member of Parliament Judy Scrow presented a certificate of recognition to Shen Yun at the performance on June 28th. Ms. Groh wrote in her certificate of recognition, "It is my pleasure to extend warm greetings and congratulations to Xinyuan Performing Arts on the occasion of your return to Toronto in celebration of your 20th anniversary global tour." Member of Parliament Anna Roberts saw Xinyuan's performance and presented a letter of support on June 27th. She said, "This is my fifth time coming, and I'm always amazed by the beautiful costumes, the dancing, and all the acrobats." Ms. Roberts was struck by the performances of the soprano and pianist and added, "It's amazing to see how wonderful and talented they are." The parliamentarian continued, "I want to say to them that I am very, very impressed with their performance, all of them. It takes a lot of people to do a performance like this. This is unbelievable." Member of Parliament Ned Couric drove more than an hour from Hamilton to show his support on June 26th. He saw the performance this year in Hamilton in March and presented a support letter in their spring performance. Mr. Couric said, "As you can see, it's a sold-out event on Friday. I'm sure every day will be sold out, so the community here in Toronto can enjoy what was originally supposed to happen a few months ago. It's a very positive thing." Mr. Couric continued, "The signal that this event is sending is that it's a very positive signal, so there might be some disruptors somewhere, but common sense prevails. When situations do arise, we have to get involved. This is Canada. We stand for freedom and democracy. So today shows that the show must go on." Member of Provincial Parliament Andrea Hazel saw Xinyuan on June 27th. She also presented a congratulatory letter. This was her third time honoring the performing arts company. Ms. Hazel said with admiration, "Congratulations to Xinyuan. We should not be sad about this. You fought, you won the battle, and here we are this evening. So congratulations to you, and I am going to be here many, 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 many more years to come."
Exposing the CCP's forced organ harvesting during the American Transplant Congress. The 2026 meeting of the American Transplant Congress was held at the Thomas M. Menino Convention and Exhibition Center in the city of Boston, Massachusetts, from June 20th to June 24th. It was a joint annual meeting of the American Society of Transplantation and the American Society of Transplant Surgeons. As the largest organ transplant meeting in the United States, this year's Congress attracted over 4,000 participants from 53 countries. Attendees included transplant surgeons, internists, researchers, organ donation coordinators, pharmacists, nurses, and representatives from organ procurement agencies. Falun Gong practitioners stood on the sidewalk outside the venue, held signs, and distributed informational materials to passers-by about the CCP's organ harvesting from living prisoners of conscience in China. Practitioners also appealed to the public for support of legislation in the U.S. Senate called the Falun Gong and Victims of Forced Organ Harvesting Protection Act, S-4009. If adopted, it will impose sanctions on those involved in forced organ harvesting, including visa and asset restrictions. Some attendees said they previously heard about the tragedy through events practitioners held in California, Pennsylvania, and other parts of the U.S. Others said they were unaware of the situation and were shocked. A man passing by gave practitioners a thumbs up to show his appreciation. A woman wearing a conference badge told practitioners, "I know about this and I support you." Another woman said she was from a lung support group, and during one session, a doctor from China said that China stopped harvesting organs. The woman asked a practitioner if this was true. The practitioner told her that although China announced a voluntary organ donation system in 2015, data released by the Chinese government raised more questions than answers because it showed that the growth rate of organ transplant cases in China far exceeds the number of organ donations. The U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee passed the Falun Gong and Victims Forced Organ Harvesting Protection Act on June 17th. The woman thanked the practitioner and said she would look into it. Falandafa practitioners also introduced a documentary produced by the organization Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting called Silent Harvest, The Courage to Speak Up. Through the accounts of numerous medical experts, ethicists, and victims, the film exposes the CCP's long-standing crimes of harvesting organs from Falun Gong practitioners and other prisoners of conscience. Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting Deputy Director Alejandro Centurion expressed hope that more professionals in the transplant field will seriously examine the evidence concerning forced organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners. He said that the medical community has a responsibility to uphold ethical principles and should not remain silent on such an important issue.
Documentary Unbroken moves Czech audience members. The Edison Film Hub Cinema in the city of Prague hosted the Czech premiere of the documentary film Unbroken, The Untold Story of Shen Yun on June 16th. The film is the first ever documentary on the New York-based performing arts group and showcases the lives of the performers as they train, rehearse, and tour. It also explores challenges that Shen Yun faces as a company targeted by the Chinese Communist Party for presenting Chinese culture before communism. Many members of Prague's artistic and cultural elite attended the premiere of the film and subsequent panel discussion. They included former Czech Minister of Culture Daniel Herman and Shen Yun principal dancer Peter Huang, a key figure in the documentary. The film garnered prolonged applause at its conclusion, and many audience members said they were touched by the strength and commitment of Shen Yun performers to their artistic freedom in the face of totalitarian repression. During the panel discussion, Lukas Kudlicek, the spokesperson for Shen Yun's local presenter in the Czech Republic, shared that the CCP's efforts to target Shen Yun have also manifested within Czech borders. He said performances in the Czech Republic this year received messages from CCP-linked senders that threatened bombings, mass shootings, and arson against theaters that hosted Shen Yun performances. Mr. Kudlicek said, "I have been helping organize Shen Yun for nearly 20 years. We take this very seriously. The threats are real, and we deal with them essentially every year." Although none of the threats ultimately ended up being realized, he still expresses his thanks for the excellent cooperation from Czech law enforcement and security forces to keep performers and audience safe. He said that these underhanded tactics are part of the CCP's broader transnational repression efforts to intimidate and silence dissidents overseas. Former Minister of Culture Daniel Herman was in attendance. He praised the admirable strength of Shen Yun artists, who, despite immense adversity, stand firmly by their convictions and spread positive energy through their highly professional artistry. He also offered a personal example of the CCP's efforts to disrupt Shen Yun, involving a friend who was contacted by the Chinese authorities because he chose to sponsor Shen Yun. Mr. Herman said that his friend was told that if he did support Shen Yun, his business operations in China would be finished. Mr. Herman was an early supporter of Shen Yun. He said that he knows exactly why the CCP is so determined to interfere. It is because of Shen Yun's emphasis on spirituality. Mr. Herman said, "Whether the spiritual vertical takes a Christian, Jewish, Buddhist, or any other form, it is always attacked by the communist regime in the same way. They simply seek to control the human soul." Actor David Stegerwald, who also attended the premiere, said, "I am deeply moved by the stories of people who are so incredibly resilient that, despite all the pain and the loss of their loved ones, they continue to dance, deliver electrifying performances, and refine their spirit to such a degree that they become beacons radiating light." He feels that the CCP's attempted repression of these artists is unacceptable. He also believes that through these challenges, incredible heroes could rise, like the young artists depicted in the film.
Thank you for listening to the Mingwe Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.